Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Right, so we have a new segment here called Pop Culture Vegas. We introduce it to you all. Let's try it out right now.
Pop Culture Vegas.
Yes, yes. You liking that, Matt Michaels?
Oh, man, that just... As Drake would say, that made my pussy whistle like the Andy Griffith theme song.
Well, it definitely makes the segment sound official, I tell you that. New segment where we, our host here, will just kind of mesh Vegas into what's happening in pop culture. So it has to be related somehow to Vegas, and we just going to let you know what we experienced, what we saw, what it is, you know. Just to give you a perfect example, I'll start off on this, Matt. I don't know if you know, Eminem dropped a brand new album on Friday.
Yeah,
which is awesome. I got a chance to check it out. I'm a big fan. What I was not familiar with was the video Darkness, and it's interesting because I check my email through Yahoo News, and sometimes if you have your mouse and it rolls over certain elements, you know, you get little bubbles that popped up. And one of them was that trending.
When you rub your mouse over your certain elements, bubbles pop up?
You know, when the cursor's moving and it hits something like news. Like, how did my cursor hit that? And then a little bubble pops up with a little, you know, image or wordings. You're like, what is that? Well, anyway, apparently I must have hit the trending section of the email, and it had Eminem's video Disturbance, and it said this something to the point of this is being very emotional to people who've seen it. So it was, you know, titled somewhat like that, and I was like, well, that's interesting. You know, Eminem doing a video like that. Okay, let me check it out. Now, I had no idea at the time, you know, what it was referencing. So I as a hip hop fan, I'm huge on lyrics. So I'm listening to the lyrics of the song and watching the video at the same time. And I gotta tell you, I absolutely understood what they meant first off by emotional, because if you haven't seen the video, the video is sort of doing a portrayal of what happened in the violence October 1st, 2017, with the shooter at Mandalay Bay, yep, who shot into the country concert that was across the way. And, you know, you're watching it, and I guess what makes it emotional is because we don't know what happened in the room outside of what was reported.
Right.
So... based on that, we have our own sort of images of how that could have been. But to actually see a betrayal of that, of what it could have been, you know, seeing a hotel room that looked as nice as it was, seeing how the hotels were, I mean, not the hotels, I'm sorry, the guns were all laid out, going to the window and back and putting a camera outside, you're going, oh my God, this is, you know... I you know, I'm just sitting back going, this is really just like a really giving an emotion that I was like, I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much tackling the gun issue, which I got to give him props for, because, you know, it's a topic that nobody wants to talk about because it's you know, you got the pro guns against the people who just, you know, don't want guns. And it's just always this battle. And he's just doing a wake-up call. And he's using his stardom and his talent to bring it to the attention. And I got to just say, first off, it was well done. And I hope the point got across. You know, I doubt anything is going to change. But at least he is putting something out there to bring it up into all of, you know, us in the country that are affected by gun violence all the time.
Yeah. And what I think is very relatable to him, he came from 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not something that is, it's something he grew up with. It's mm-hmm. everyday life around you is, you know, seeing someone getting shot,
right,
you know, or a friend getting shot, or,
yeah,
or something like that. So if there's one person to put it into perspective, he's got the right perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But you said something very interesting, and that is the formulation mm-hmm. of your own mind and what it looks like to you.
Right, yeah.
Which is fascinating, because we're getting a glimpse of what Eminem's
right,
you know, vision of this is his own consciousness, his
sure.
own, you know, you can call it an artistic, you know, obviously because
right.
of the fact that it is a video, but that is such a thing that if you truly feel for it, if you're impacted by it, if something happens where you emotionally are touched by it, you have a curiosity in your own brain
mm-hmm.
of what was it like? What was the motive? And you got two perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
The perspective of a shooter and the perspective of those being targeted.
Right, yeah.
Which is, you know, such a hard thing to, you know, balance out. And the other thing, too, is all those people who were survivors of this, them getting a chance to watch this
mm-hmm.
might bring a little...
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, there's going to be emotions, but is there going to be closure, you know, for some of them in terms of... and I don't, I'd want to like make it like a personal closure, but,
right. mm-hmm.
but something that actually represents like, hey, this guy is, you know, doing something that is representing us. And
yeah.
it's, you know, and it's the first art, you know, artist, mm-hmm. some kind of, you know, depiction of it.
Right.
You know, it, in itself, it's a small movie. Like
yeah.
video should be, you
exactly,
know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fascinating look into what would have been going through someone's mind,
right?
You know, taking the perspective of that and not glorifying it, and that's
right,
why
exactly.
I hope
right
that message doesn't translate to other people as, you know, this is the way we should do something like this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, especially with, you know, all the tensions going on. And it's interesting too, that it's a white rapper.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what the, you know, if Jay-Z did this, would it have any other, you know, what would that look like? You know what I'm saying? Because of what you said, like
and,
everyone's interpretation.
Right. And would it even be as impactful if Jay-Z would have done it compared to Eminem?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I think Eminem does have a broader audience that he...
Exactly, yeah.
That he picks up. And I think he's at a point of his career. I mean, look, he didn't have to drop his album. The man is set for life. So I think if... When he looked at the so-called backlash, if there was going to be any on that, he's like, dude, whatever. If no one wants to buy the album, if it doesn't right. do anything, I'm good. So I think he understands his position and hoping that will kind of create this sort of conversation. And let's just be real about it. When it comes to a lot of these mass shootings, a lot of times they are portrayed by young white men.
Yep.
Sometimes they could be older in that guy's case. and the people who were, you know, listened to him, he maybe could come across to them. I think that's who he's trying to reach out to.
I hope so. You know, I hope that that message reaches them, because you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing too is that Eminem has always had music that is based in anger.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true, yes.
But it's also been... And this is when, you know, people talk about, oh, how music, you know, can corrupt, or movies can corrupt, video games can corrupt.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, it's not advocating violence.
Yeah.
It's giving an outlet to portray these ideas, even if it's not politically correct.
Right, yeah.
You're giving an outlet to talk about, you know, this, you know, my problems with my wife, my love for my kid,
right.
Everything is based in some type of frustration that needs to get out.
Right.
And I think that this is a great example, because I think that there are a lot of people who probably don't understand the impact that had on the city itself.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you don't live,
yeah.
You know, and unfortunately it takes a mass tragedy. Look at, you know, 9/11.
Right.
Look at how bonded New Yorkers were.
Sure.
You know, now you're almost 20 years later, is that same bond there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
So
yeah, man. Well, if you guys haven't seen it, check out Eminem's video Darkness. It's on YouTube, and that's the connection that he has with Vegas. Quickly, Friday, you were at a Tool concert at the T-Mobile Arena. I guess they haven't, been to Vegas in a long time?
Oh, well.
If ever?
They've been to Vegas. But
yeah.
The band itself, you know, they're very much perfectionists. They don't release anything when it's not ready to be released. So, with that being said, it took them 13 years to come out with the next album.
Got you. Okay.
And they didn't do a lot of, you know, after the previous album came out, toured for about a 2-year time frame,
yeah. I'd
say. And then that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe showing up once or twice for like a bigger fest or something like that.
Sure.
But for the most part, it was quiet. So, when you see them come into town,
yeah,
fans of the band know, go see them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because they're also always one step away from never playing again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what makes it a special, you know, event. The place was packed.
I'm sure. Probably sold out, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
To give you an example, we were up in the ADA seating.
Mm, okay.
And that was full.
Yeah.
So when you have ADA seating full, you know that it's a packed
right.
house.
Yeah, exactly.
They deliver a concert that is spectacular visually.
Okay.
It's very stimulating. The whole idea is the third eye and seeing the, you know, the soul of life and experience and whatnot. And I think that it kind of goes along with what we were just talking about artistically.
Sure.
It's allowing you, this music is allowing you to experience a different aspect of something that you might be, you know, in your mind questioning things.
Sure.
You know, it's finding that discovery of the soul and the beating heart and life itself. And it's like Grateful Dead heavy metal. It's not Metallica or Megadeth, that speed metal that death metal that's out now. No, it's very explorative and very personalized. And what is interesting is that you don't have to be necessarily a fan of the music
sure.
to enjoy the show.
Right, yeah.
because you just open your mind to it. And I think that's something that we got to get more of, is just opening our minds to new experiences.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that fascinated me as walked out of the doors and you see the big billboard that's mm-hmm. like straight in front of you. Don't know what casino, off the top of my head, I don't know what casino owns it.
What, Park MGM?
It could be part of the parks, but it's like an electronic billboard that's sure. like straight across, it might even be across the street.
Okay. All right.
But what was fascinating is the first thing you saw, Bruno Mars is playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a residency.
Sure.
And so that's the variation.
Right. Yeah.
And if you have a really good taste and are open to the experiences, you know, that's the type of thing. Enjoy Tool and then enjoy Bruno Mars.
Right. Yeah.
Or enjoy, you know, Wayne Newton.
Sure.
You know, just open up to the experience and take advantage of it, because as Eminem's video shows, you never know.
Yeah.
So keep your mind open, experience things,
and
enjoy it.
And definitely, if you haven't been to a concert in Vegas, I don't know what it is, but I've been to several, and the artists just really, the idea, I guess, of just being in Vegas, it seems like they want to do something special or something extra that I don't think other cities get the opportunity to have. I've seen a show performed in here in Vegas, and then the same show performed out in LA, and they're both great performances, but you know, when you watch like Timberlake, for example, because my wife loves Timberlake and I like Justin too, he's great. For Vegas, I mean, it's just something extra when you're there. He just loves it. It's just more loving the crowd. It's just the idea of being, it's here, you know, and it's that experience. So if you ever happen to be in town when there's a concert of your favorite artist, or even an artist you're not sure about, just come check it out. I think you're going to just enjoy, because artists love the idea of just being here in this fun town. I guess that's what it is. The idea of being a fun town, people just looking to just party all night. That's what they're looking to do, you know?
Well, and T-Mobile Center is lending itself to you being able to go to like New York for a pre-meal.
Yeah.
Then go to the T-Mobile, see the concert or see the sporting event, and then you go to the park and gamble
right
afterwards and spend a couple hours there.
Right.
You know, so you can do more. You can, it's not just, you know, most places you drive to the venue, you pay $30 for parking.
Right.
And then the concert ends and you're out of there.
Right.
And you're driving home again.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it. That's, you know, but with, you know, the location, it lends itself to so many things. And one of the biggest things too is you had Tool on Friday night, and Saturday night you got the UFC fight.
Right. Yeah.
Which is amazing, because again, you're just kind of flipping through genres and different things. And, you know, there's always something here for anyone's taste.
Exactly. Well, hey, if Tool's coming to your town, man, I think Matt Michaels would recommend you to definitely check them out. So that is going to be our Vegas pop culture for today. All right, let's talk wrestling. We have with us, which I'm excited because we haven't talked to him in a while, our Latin correspondent, Don Ramon. How are you?
I'm good, y'all. Good to be here with the Bad Boys once again, 2020.
Yes.
Looking forward to a new year. Feliz Año Nuevo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're here. We're going to do it.
We are, man. And thank you for being here, because, you know, I mean, we got, Sin City Steve right now is enjoying his illustrious cruise, out with the Jericho cruise. Mm-hmm. And we hope we're going to get a call from him sometime during the week. But, you know, we needed someone to keep Matt Michaels in his place, and I'm glad you're stepping into that role.
You know, I'm here to maintain order for the time being. Keep Matt on the straight and narrow over here.
Please do.
Just don't make me call ice on you.
Oh, my goodness.
You see what I mean? You see, go on timeout.
We jump walls, we cross rivers. I think about shit on us.
Oh my God. All right, man, let's go ahead and jump into our three count.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
Okay, let's start with our first count.
One.
This comes from ProWrestling.com and eWrestling.com, and it's titled Allison Kay Says She Hopes Tessa Blanchard is exposed as a quote racist, unquote, and quote undeniable scumbag, unquote. So just in case you all are not kind of familiar with what's going on, let me just break it down. Tessa Blanchard has been accused of bullying other wrestlers, also berating a trainer from WOW until she cries. I mean, getting special treatment after a locker room fight. And by the way, a lot of those are proven to be true. But the biggest thing is her using a racial slur in Japan, using the N-word after spitting in her face. And that's pretty vivid. I mean, you know, if someone's going to spit in your face, more than likely you're going to remember what they said before they spit in your face or right after they spit in your face. You're more likely going to remember that. So it's kind of weird how you could just say none of that happened and all the people didn't see that or hear that. But anyway, it's reported that WWE's Chelsea Green and Isla Dawn, AEW's Big Swole and Shana, Renee Michelle, Priscilla Kelly, and former Impact star Rebel were among the wrestlers who all accused her. And now Allison Kay, who's the NWA's Women's World Champion, is not buying the post that she put out on her Twitter denying any of this happened. And, you know, it's always been said, man, that where there's smoke, there probably is some fire out there. So I'm just going to throw the question out there to you fellas. Despite the numerous people seeing and hearing this, are we to take Tessa Blanchard for her word? And how does Impact Wrestling handle this besides keeping her away from the media? Don Ramon, I'm going to let you start off with this one. How is this handled? You know, how are we supposed to be believing what she says now?
I mean, we're talking about Impact here and, you know, the litany of behind the scenes, you know, leadership that's changed or anything. They got all cards on deck for her. They're all in on her. I don't think they're going to do a damn thing.
Right.
I think they're going to let this blow over. They're going to keep the title on. They're going to keep, you know, pushing her forward and hope people forget for the most part.
Yeah,
you know, we're talking on a personal level. I don't think she's taking ownership for it.
Right.
I think that's the big key here.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big takeaway.
And I forgot to mention, she is the current world heavyweight champion as well. So, I mean, I think you're right on this. They're just, you know, they're all in on her on this, and they're just going to just ride it on out.
Yeah. And you know what? It's just an interesting thing because These rumors or, you know, rumors and just thoughts were said long ago. You know, this has been years in the making. I think it just came an opportunity to, you know, let the floodgates open. But I've heard from even local wrestlers, you know, in Southern California who worked with her and said things. Now, these are allegations, obviously. You know, we're not firsthand there. But at the same time, like you said earlier, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. But ultimately, I think for me was that last statement she put out through Impact, and I think it was on her Twitter as well, was like, there was no sense of remorse. There was more a sense of, you know, this is my achievement, and I'm going to get over it, and I'm above this, you know?
Right.
Which to me says, I'm above you. Which, in the wrestling business, you know, can serve you well when you do believe in yourself that much, regardless of the situation.
Right. Matt Michaels, she said in there, you know, I mean, women are trying, you know, we're not should be trying to take other women down. We should be supporting one another. I don't think they're trying to take her down for the sake of taking her down. They see someone that is rising up who have done things, who have said things that should be accountable for. What is your take on this?
You know, what's really interesting is when you say the accountability. You know, it does take, I mean, it takes yourself to stand up for your own accountability. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that you're dealing with something that is a money-oriented business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are companies or people who have a vested interest in seeing her succeed because it means money in their pockets.
Right.
So therefore, it's an enabler act. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to see the tone deafness of Impact Wrestling by putting the belt on her. You're going to risk the isolation of A, just people who don't believe a female should hold the male's title,
mm-hmm.
right? That's your first problem, no matter who it is.
Right, yeah.
Females are always going to get ragged on when they win a world championship of, you know, the male pretentious
sure.
title. Now, on top of that, you have people who've spoken out who, if someone like Chelsea Green speaks out, the problem is that she's within the WWE's blanket, right?
Right.
So for her to speak out, she is taking a hell of a long risk there
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that WWE does not like getting involved in that kind of shit.
Of course, yeah.
So I think that ends up being where you see credibility falling into place.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she has no reason to say what she said.
Mm-hmm.
The response on Tessa's end is your blanket statement of, hey, you know, we should be empowering. It's such a deflection.
Right.
Own up to it. But the problem is that when you're as young as she is, and this is, I think, what everyone forgets, she's only like 23 mm-hmm. or 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this being that she's gotten so many push, so many things handed to her, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean opportunities because of the fact that she has talent
yeah.
and she is Tully's daughter. So she's gotten a lot quicker than most wrestlers get.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you're not at a maturity level mm-hmm. that meets that responsibility, then this is what ends up happening.
Right.
She's a very nice person in public.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's all I can say. She's nice in public. Well, I don't know how she's in the locker room because none of us have dealt with her in the locker room.
Right.
So,
I mean, we want to believe her. We want to take her word that none of this happened. But there is just, you know, constant things coming out about her since she's been in wrestling. Just, you know, how she acts towards other people. If you never were to hear any of those types of things, and she really kind of kept this lifestyle of just being humble and a lovable person, and then out of the blue you heard the story, you might more likely be like, I don't know, I might want to side with her on this. But, you know, again, making the trainer for WOW cry, and of course that was also in front of people. Mm-hmm. People witnessed this. People have witnessed her acting out there, you know, in ways that's like, why are you even acting like this in the first place? So it almost makes it a little bit more believable. Not only the fact you have, what, 6-7 women here that agrees with what happened, but, you know, you could kind of go, yeah, more likely that is something that happened. And it's, I don't know why Impact Wrestling is not taking something like that a little bit more serious. So I don't know. Don Ramon, any last words on that?
No, it's the same thing, that kind of echoing the same thing, that it comes down to dollars and cents. And if they believe that as a, you know, face of a company, she's going to bring back more viewers or bring back, you know, people to their program, they're not going to do anything about it. They're going to try to sweep it under the rug. And I'm just thinking from her perspective is, you know, how many bridges is she willing to burn? Because up until now, we don't know what kind of opportunities she's, you know, not had because of her attitude, because of her behavior. And there's a litany of people that are really, you know, back that up. So I think the future will only tell where she ends up. And, you know, who knows? It's a wrestling business, you know. She could be WWE champ for all we know next time we see her.
Well, there is one thing, and that is there is a reason that you haven't seen her in NXT or WWE as of right now. And you're seeing why.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
You think...
No.
Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to... Just one small thing that I heard Matt saying, talking about how the perspective, how young she is, and how many more generations of young women, because now, you know, there's the business is open for women to kind of come in and be more successful, and there's position in several companies now. You know, how is that? How does that play into that? She's a woman in the business who maybe just has a certain level of mentoring, and how important will that be coming up as more women come into the business? You know, you know, this idea of you know, the boys taking care of the boys backstage in terms of if problems came up, you know, what's that going to happen? You know, especially now we hear about Ring of Honor changing bookers, and you hear about, you know, how NXT is probably expanding more, and, you know, so I'd be curious to see how the next generation deals with something like this.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be an isolated incident.
I'm sure WWE put Becky to the side and say, you know what? Don't mention her in your social media anymore. Just pretend she don't exist. Thank you. Now go be champion. You know what I mean? You know, because, you know, she, I mean, it would have been, I mean, referencing the fact of them having a match would be awesome, but, ooh, you know, you might want to just stay away from that. So anyway, that is our first count. Let's go to our second. Now, from multiple sites and BleacherReport.com and WrestlingNews.co, we have Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer have reported that Marty Scurll had re-signed to ROH Wrestling. And it was also reported that AEW not only wanted Marty Scurll, but wanted him to be the new leader of the Dark Order. Now, interestingly, from Forbes.com, they had a story that was titled, AEW is expected to pursue several major WWE stars. And in that report, it was saying that that Dave Meltzer also noticed that Matt Hardy may leave WWE in March and end up being revealed as the leader of the Dark Order in AEW. So apparently AEW is investing a lot into this Dark Order, and apparently they must feel what they are missing is having a strong leader for this group. So again, Don Ramon, I'm going to go ahead and start off with you. Do you think that that's what's missing from this group? Or is this whole gimmick just not good and just should be gotten rid of? I mean, is that what they need as a leader, or should they just kill the whole thing? And what's your take on that?
I think the Dark Order on its face, it could be a great gimmick, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they've twisted it, you know, now it has this kind of like cultish kind of feel. It's not just, you know, the Max wrestlers that had no backstory. So I like that vibe. I like the website. I like the whole hashtag thing.
Yeah.
That's right, though. They are lacking that something that creative push with somebody that can really push him forward. I think the idea has some promise, but I think the idea of the Dark Order in itself is more representative of the growing pains of AEW. You know, you hear some not rumors, but you hear stories about how, you know, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen right now, for lack of a better word. And, you know, hate it or not, you know, people talk a lot about WWE and how, you know, there is that ultimate decision maker, Vince McMahon. I don't know if AEW has that right now.
Right.
I think there's a lot of ideas not thrown at the wall, but just ideas that are well-intentioned, but I don't know if there's that ultimate person to say, let's roll this through and let's make it work. And I don't mean like a year-long plan. I'm sure they have that in place, but I don't know if that's that person. Now, to that end, who knows if they were waiting on Marty? You know, we don't know that.
Yeah.
And it kind of seemed pretty dead set that he was coming because he's still in the intro for Being the Elite. You know, that little pixelated intro that they have, video game intro,
sure.
And he still shows up on it.
Right, yeah.
So who's to say if, you know, Matt Hardy could be a great addition, you know, and not just as a on-camera person, but someone who can creatively help backstage too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I first saw the Dark Order, I was intrigued. I was like, okay, that's interesting. I mean, you know, you have these zombie-like characters coming down to the ring, and then they all form this chair that actually I thought the guy sitting on him was the leader, but I guess I was wrong. You know, because I'm familiar with the entire Dark Order, you know, gimmick starting off. And so, you know, I've watched it, coming to what it's coming into. And yeah, I guess a leader would be something that they would need. But if they don't figure out who this leader is going to be, then, you know, maybe they should just scrap the whole gimmick, you know, mm-hmm. At least until they can figure out what they want to do. I don't know. I got Matt Michaels. He watches a lot of AEW, not as much as Sin City Steve. And I'm sure Sin City would probably go, oh, man, yeah, they need to go ahead and find that person that's the leader of the group. But Matt Michaels, I mean, is that all that's missing, man? They need to have that leader or just scrap it?
So I just stepped away for a second to make a phone call to my sources.
Okay.
And my sources say that early February,
mm-hmm.
it will be revealed that the Dark Order leader is James Ellsworth. Which I believe that reporting is about as credible as Matt Hardy being the leader of it.
Hey, it's from Forbes.com. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Matt, do you have like a fake account of like a teenage girl or something? Is that how? Did he DM you or something? What's going on, bro?
Oh my God.
You know, I got several fake accounts. I want to
get into your extracurriculars, but come on.
I get several fake accounts as teenage girls. It's really, it's disturbing.
Oh man.
Yeah. What do you say to this? I mean, you know, on one hand, you got Marty is perfect to.
I thought the rumors were he really was going to sign with AEW. Why? I mean, it's great. I guess he signed.
What was the word you said?
Well, rumor. But,
exactly.
But it was a strong rumor. It was a really.
It was a fucking king of the fuckland rumor. King of fuck. Yeah, okay. I mean, it was this fucking smart rumor. And you know what? Everyone thinks they fucking know shit because, oh, he's friends with them. He's going to go over there, blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's business. And this is giving him a direction in which he can help create and kind of reestablish ROH as a product. Mm-hmm. And with the way things are going at Impact, ROH is, you know, on its way to being the third major company,
mm-hmm.
if they can get it together.
Sure.
And I think it was just internal issues that were going on, morale issues a little bit. And you'll see if he can, you know, use his talents to pump up the excitement about it and the buzz about it, especially because it looks like they have been kind of floating ideas of doing a big show in Tampa,
right?
You know, or around Tampa.
Yeah.
So you know, that bring back that excitement, and I think that's what he's going to do. The whole AEW thing, he didn't necessarily need to go there and just be another one of the,
yeah,
you know, they're going to put him as the leader of the Dark Order. So let me get straight. I'm going from ROH when I had a really fucking cool villain enterprises,
right,
to a bunch of fucking gimps and masks.
That's a good point, though.
Don Ramon, you know a little about gimps and masks. What do you think?
Oh, of course, sir. I have a vast, you know, latex mask collection. You know, we got chains. We got whips. You know, I said I was going to keep people in order here today, you know? I wasn't fucking joking.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well,
I have an unsubstantiated rumor from my own sources that CM Punk will be the new leader of the Dark Order. And I've let him borrow all my gear, you know, so that he can have success.
Yeah. Well, you know what's going to happen in the end? It's going to be in the ring. The whole Dark Order is going to be there. And this guy's going to come out, and he's going to look really intimidating. It's going to be fucking amazing. Like, everyone's going to be pumped. This is fucking awesome. Like, he's got a mask and shit, and he looks really, like, jacked and everything.
Yeah.
And then he'll pull off the mask and be like, it was me all along.
Right.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
You know? But, I mean, it makes you wonder why they didn't think about this in the first place when they was creating the Dark Order. Apparently they must have thought the two guys that were up there.
You mean the Dark Order.
Mm-hmm. The Dark Order. Yes. That, I guess, they were going to just somehow lead it without a leader. Like, I guess they didn't think they needed a leader. Because they were their leaders until they found out later on. Yeah, until they found out, well, they're not good leaders, so we need to find a bigger name leader.
Is it that they're not good leaders? Is it that they're not a good draw? Or is it that the booking in itself, it's just not been what it needs to be for them?
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks cool. I think I said, it could be a good gimmick. I still think they can salvage it, but Not the way it is right now. It just feels like an afterthought. It's just like,
yeah,
kind of want to click ahead or DVR ahead or whatever it is.
Right. I
don't want to watch it.
Ask for it. Yeah.
You know what? At this point, why don't you just make it Tony Khan? You got nothing to lose. I mean, because the fans are going to be pissed about it either way.
You know, they actually may cheer him because he's a god right now for creating AEW. So they would
That's
cheer
what
that.
I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, man. Let's go into. Go ahead, man. No.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say something stupid. Like, make them like the new ministry, and then. Never mind. It's a stupid thought. I was gonna say make them like the corporate Dark Order or some shit. No, never mind. Throw the gimmick away.
What's the see?
Dumpster fire. Never mind.
Just throw it away.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna be like really. We're gonna be pissed at you, and all the AEW fans are going to be pissed at you, because if anyone in AEW just listened to you say that,
right,
that very might be what happens, and you'll be the one who's responsible.
Exactly. But you know, when you think about it, when the Wyatt family, right, when it was created,
oh, there you go, it was Luke Harper. He's the leader of the Dark Order.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's rumor that he's supposed to go over, too. I mean, that's big rumors, too. But I'm just saying, like, even when they had the Wyatt family, I mean, you know, they figured out that it's not going to be Luke. You're not going to be the head of the Wyatt family. You know, Rowan, it's not going to be you. They put they had Bray.
Yeah, go ahead. But his last name is Wyatt. It would be kind of ridiculous if you had Harper leading the Wyatt family.
Well, yeah. Should I throw this phone at you? But you get the point. Anyway, let's go to our third topic.
Best of luck to them. Best of luck to them. Hopefully they make $1 million.
Exactly.
There. Is that nicer than telling to throw the dumpster fire? Damn it.
All right. This third one comes from the Post and Courier.com, and it was titled Latino Wrestling Star Andrade Represents a Growing Diversity in WWE. And of course, you know, seeing diversity in any capacity is a good thing. And in wrestling, when people of color have a champion that, you know, looks like them and represents them, we all feel proud about it. I know definitely I was when Kofi won the title at WrestleMania. You know, it's just one of those things that it really does have a good feeling. Don Ramon, let me just start off with you being our Latin correspondent. You know, how is the Latin community feeling right now about the status of superstars that's representing them in WWE? Again, we still got Mysterio, Andrade is just blowing up, and you got Humberto, who's actually showing a lot of promise, man.
Man, I got to take a deep breath before I answer that, because I have a lot to say about that. But
okay.
in short, I think people love it. I think anytime you see someone that looks, you know, represents you in that way, you're going to like it. You know, like, I'm an Eddie Guerrero guy. My dad, you know, he got into wrestling because of Gory and coming to the Grand Ole Vic Auditorium and all this stuff. And, you know, so there's a lineage of wrestling history in my own family, but as TV watchers, but
yeah.
You know, right now Andrade's a man. You know, they're putting him in top spots. You know, top programs. That whole program with Mysterio is so brilliant, because I think if there was one guy that could work with Andrade right now at that level, with that level of experience, it's Mysterio.
Yeah.
And thank God he got his knees like worked on. You know, with that stem cell therapy, because that's been a huge change.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like they had to bring Mysterio back. You know, and I think the smartest thing they did was giving him Zelina as well, you know, as a mouthpiece, because, you know, there's a whole language barrier. But as a community, I think it's great. I think it's a positive note, not just in WWE. You got, you know, Bandito on top of Ring of Honor.
Yes.
You know, you got, you know, even AEW to some extent, I guess. You got Sammy Guevara, who's, you know, people don't know, he's Mexican-American, you know, he's from Texas. You know, he's still representative. He's not displayed as much.
Sure.
So I think any representation is good representation. Now, that said, I think going forward, the bigger thing is not just talent on camera, but behind the camera. Because ultimately, the people that are making the decisions of how to push these people are not people of color.
Mm.
And I think that's the biggest kind of division of how good. I mean, the New Day, I've been talking all about it.
Sure.
And how they have to fight an uphill battle, you know, not to be, I don't know if stereotyped is the word, but let's just roll with it. And you think, who's also going to be making decisions? You know, it's white men, you know, white men.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt, but it's true.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sorry. But yeah, and it sucks because, you know, I know people that moved into that writer's room and it hasn't really changed. And you think of the people that I keep going back there, it's like, they just got Chris Joseph back, who's a great mind. Awesome dude. Used to run Lucha Underground. And I've got a chance to talk to him. Huge wrestling fan. Obviously knows how to work with Latino talent.
Yeah.
You know, running Lucha Underground. They got back Bruce Prichard. But again, is there diversity in that executive wing, you know?
Right.
Who's also making the decisions. And I'm encouraged by the fact that they're branching out, you know, to women, to Latinos, to, you know, African-Americans. You know, they try to reach out to China to do the, you know, to bring Chinese Americans. That they have some people in the PC. But ultimately, you know, that's only going to bring in the talent is part of the equation. What's that step? That's who's writing for them. Who's reading those storylines for them, you know?
Right.
Well, I mean, let's start with the truth be told. The Latino culture has not been represented right in the writing staff since Freddie Prinze Jr. left.
Agree.
I don't even think it was represented when Freddie Prinze Jr. was there. I mean,
And I don't think he was specifically batting for Latinos. You know,
no.
I mean,
of course,
I don't know. I don't know, but my gut tells me like he was just there. You know,
so I think, you know, let's realistically go for what the fans like, and that was referring to Tito Santana as Chico Santana and the flying burrito that he would throw, right? And then I think the most progressive leap that Mexican wrestlers made were riding lawnmowers down to the ring.
Mexico's God. Damn.
You know, and that's how you have to look at it. You have to look at, like, how bad it was for years.
Yeah.
To the point where you took guys like Super Crazy and Hoovy, who were talented, and threw them in jumpsuits and fucking lawnmowers.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, you, sir. And then you had Eddie and Ray feuding over the paternity of Dominic. I mean, it's...
Respectfully, I fucking like that angle. That was ridiculous, but it was fun.
Well, you would, because, right, that's how it works, right? It's like no one really knows who's dad.
Look, man, just because there's been some doubts in my personal life doesn't mean I like certain storylines on TV. You know, sue me. What the hell?
Don Ramon, Ron Ramon, John Ramon.
I
know.
Children out there trying to get me for, you know, paternity, and you want a daddy? Go ask somebody else. I ain't doing shit for you.
You know, I mean, it's, let's face it, like, I actually am surprised that they haven't done a deportation angle.
I know, right?
Didn't they, though? Didn't they, JBL? Wasn't he at, like, the border with Eddie Guerrero?
Well, they did the border thing, but I'm literally talking, like, this day and age now, doing an actual deportation.
Man.
Because you know that's you the know shit what? Vince gets his kicks out of.
Right.
They would. And the thing is, it's like, they're so damn massive. They would not face... I mean, they would face a backlash, but they'd at least try it, you know?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it'd be the same thing as usual in terms of, backlash, but... And if anyone is listening now... Now, I've started a deportation angle. You have the Dark Order being run by the Ministry of Darkness.
Oh, man.
You got everyone listening, just watch for these ideas to come to your TV in 2020, because I got a feeling that's all they're doing nowadays.
Oh, man.
They're just sitting around listening to podcasts and picking ideas.
They're just going to recycle storylines like they always do. You know, we're going to have Andrade and Charvin some goddamn cuck angle, and that's how they're going to fit in the immigration deportation thing. They're going to be like, well, we're going to deport you because, you know, this is happening in your life.
That
storyline is so bad. Sorry. Not to divert our conversation, but...
But you can actually see it happening. That's the sad thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's horrible. Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
The reason why... Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't watch it anymore. I mean, it's a morbid curiosity. I mean, not the whole segments, but certain ones.
Let me ask.
I just think, look, there's Southern California is a hotbed of, like, Latino wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, you know, there's shows. There's so many independents out here. And a lot of them are, you know, small Lucha Libre independents.
Yeah.
People that watch the WWE, but, you know, are more aware of it just for what it is. People are still going to watch, you know, people are still going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a brilliant move that I feel they still haven't capitalized on was the whole Cain Velasquez thing. I think that was years too late. I mean, we're talking, that thing could have been the hottest thing ever. And, you know, I remember being at Staples when he comes out on that SmackDown, I was just losing my shit. And I was kind of the only one, because anybody who was, you know, non-Latino or not, you're not really an MMA fan, really didn't know who the guy was,
right?
You know? So I think I got to give him credit at least for trying to bring people in, or at least trying to create some level of notoriety for people. But ultimately, it's the same thing, and this isn't just a Latino thing. I think it's just if they don't really see things through, and we've seen it with their own stars. You know, like Becky Lynch, you know, took a while to get up there and went through her own kind of stereotypical gimmicks. If we really want to be real, you know.
Well, I think, you know, another thing too, when you think about it, the way things typically do run, and I can see this totally happening, is WWE will take a luchador, create a luchador, right? Uh-huh. Guy in a mask, build him up, get the fans really on his side, really love him.
Uh-huh.
give him the world championship. This guy's white hot. He's awesome. And then at a certain point, he takes off the mask and it's a white guy. And now it's instant heat. And he's now a heel because, you know, but that brings up the point I was thinking about and seeing that actually come into my mind was the fact that when you said L.A. in the lucha scene, there is a lot of legitimate lucha wrestlers, some who don't wear masks, some who do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people who are lucha wrestlers on these cards who are wearing masks who actually are white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, wasn't Mustafa under a mask for a while? Because, people were, ironically, people were actually racist towards him because of how people felt because of 9/11 and what have you.
Right.
And he wrestled under a lucha mask in Chicago, which is another hotbed of a lot of Mexicans live there. So that's pretty interesting you say that. I don't know. It's one of those things where I hope they keep pushing people, and for the love of God, I hope that Andrade and Charlotte never break up, because, goddamn, if he's in that wheelhouse, and as long as they're together, they'll pull each other by their bootstraps and carry yourself forward, because, I mean, look at Becky and Seth, they made them champion at the same time and put them on TV, so let's follow the same model, which, ironically, isn't Seth Mexican? I mean, he's like half, at least.
You know what? I think there's some Mexican, but it's also really strange because Seth's from Iowa.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I think it's dad, but he's like, I don't think he's very close to that or didn't grow up with him. But that's the point. It's like, how do you define when we're going to say, oh, the biggest Latino star, I say Mexican because that's my point of view, but look at AEW. I freaking love Proud and Powerful. I think they're like awesome as a tag team. I don't know if any of them, I don't know if they break up and somebody pushes forward. I put my money on one guy. Outside of WWE, I think Sammy Guevara might be like a breakout star.
Yeah.
That guy's the money for me. I mean, I love him as a heel. I don't know how he'd do as a good guy, but that guy has like, oh my God, they can push that guy so far.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I think one of the traditional things about Mexican wrestling is that the guys are traditionally smaller. And, the ones who do succeed who are like that Sammy mold are guys who do have the personality. So, if they continue to build his personality and his persona, you will have to babyface him at some time.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that creates a backlash and and not the success that you should have, that's the interesting question, because you got the same thing with Gino Hernandez. He was a heel all day, but chicks dug him because he was a good looking dude. So, it's an interesting question, and I think the most interesting point is if you have all these luchas in a dressing room, especially with female luchas, does Tessa Blanchard go off on them?
I think things will get taken care of a lot sooner in a Mexican locker room, honestly. Holy crap.
Well, let me ask you this right quick, Don. One last question on this. Would you like to see more Latina wrestlers getting their shots and everything into the big leagues in professional wrestling?
Hell yeah, man. Oh, pizza. I mean, come on. They brought in, Reyna Gonzalez from Texas. They got a couple of people right in the PC, and there's so much talent in Mexico. So actually, ironically, a lot of max talent, a lot of mass females, and Lady Flammer, I think, and that's another one that comes off to the mind in Mexico right now. But yeah, there's so much talent, and I think it is that wave. I think it's this generational wave, whether you're in Mexico or in the U.S. or look at Japan. Look at Stardom. getting bought up by Bushiroad. And yeah. they just ran a show at the Tokyo Dome, you know, with Wrestle Kingdom, or ran a match at Wrestle Kingdom. I think the more people can come in and just get opportunities that didn't get opportunities otherwise, you know, do it. And I think Cody said something, it was in that article that we were going off of, but mm-hmm. he said, you know, we're looking, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, we're looking for talent, and ultimately, you know, diversity is important, but we're not going to draw attention to it. And I agree with part of that. I think, you know, there is some merit base to it, but, you know, you can't determine merit if you don't let people at least get an opening, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't open the door a little bit. And up until now, you know, the door's been open, but like we were saying, when you're stuck with pretty racist gimmicks, you know, it's hard to move forward when you're trying to be the lawn, you know, move the lawnmower out of the way. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm good with it, but you know, that's if they don't give it, I'm sure somebody else will pick up the slack. And you know, regardless of anything, people love money. Companies love money, so they'll push you. They'll push you if you're talented.
Yeah. Well, that is our three count. Good job, fellas. Proud of you. Not you, Matt Michaels.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just still thinking about you know, some of the greats that have like Giant Gonzalez.
Giant Gonzalez, okay.
who you know, El Gigante. Oh man.
Oh my God. Look, man, let's jump over just to a little bit of some wrestling talk that we've seen this week. First off, I'm actually going to throw this over to you, Matt Michaels. I don't know how far you go back into watching wrestling. As you know, we had the passing of WWE Hall of Famer Rocky Johnson. I never got the opportunity to really see him fight in his heyday. I did see the match he did have with his son, The Rock, which was an exciting moment. But he did pass away. I thought I'd pass it over to you, and maybe you can give a little insight on Rocky Johnson.
Well, thanks for making me sound like I'm 50 years older than you, dick.
That's what you get for the Tessa Blanchard joke.
You know, what is interesting is in 1986-ish, late 85, 86 is when I started watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Coliseum Video had started releasing the videos for rental. At that point, the WWF did not have a, you know, current amount of product that they can pump out on these videotapes. Mm-hmm. So they did a lot of stuff from 82, 83, 84... 85 to do these compilations of things to get you familiar, mm-hmm. which in turn meant that you're seeing guys like Dr. D, who was already, you know, let go for the wrestling is not fake hands on the reporter incident. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw Ken Patera, who was currently in jail for the incident he had in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So you had to kind of go, okay, you're seeing these guys, but they weren't current. And one of the tag teams that they showed on these tapes were Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
And the sad thing was, is that at that point, it was past the prime. Mm. So you didn't get the full exposure to Rocky Johnson that like people were getting from Hulk Hogan, right?
Right.
At the same time, you weren't getting the same exposure for Bruno Sammartino.
True.
You know, these guys were at a point where it was all legend at that point.
Yeah.
So at that point, Rocky was already, you know, kind of more of a mythological character. The one thing that is interesting is that he was a good worker, a good wrestler, and a well-respected one.
Yeah.
And I think that that was one of those things where, you know, he just never really kept popping up on the radar, per se, because he wasn't really someone who did a lot of things in the eye of that wrestling world that was created from, you know, 1985 on. The question to me is, if The Rock would not have become The Rock, would we be talking about Rocky Johnson?
I would say probably not.
Well, I know you wouldn't. But,
Go ahead, Don.
No, it's hard to say, I mean, you know, you see him, like you said, in compilations, or you saw him, like, WWE would bring him up, like, Black History Month and what have you, but, you know, who's to say?
Yeah.
You know, well, on his own merits.
But that's a very, you just brought up a very interesting point. When Black History Month started getting brought up in the late 90s, early 2000s, what is very interesting is that you really got to see just how little of the African-American talent they had.
Right.
Because you got 4 weeks, and basically you get Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas together, or, you know, one or the other. You got Junkyard Dog, you got Ernie Ladd, and what, Kamala?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's it. That's like, here's your 4 weeks of our Black History Month. There you go.
Yeah. And also to mention, I mean, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, they were the first black people to hold a WWF championship, and together they were known as the Soul Patrol. So may he rest in peace.
And if you really want a good little laugh, check out that 70s show, the episode where season one, where Rocky Johnson is played by The Rock. And you know, it's a little moment where he's about to go in the locker room, and they stop him and, you know, ask him something. And then he says, and one day I'll have a son who will grow up to be the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. You know, and it's just fun.
Absolutely. Well, cool, guys.
Yeah, rest in power.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Just going to throw a couple of things out there. If you guys want to mention some things you saw on the show as well, go ahead. Jump in at any time. Other than that, we'll just keep it flowing. This past week's WWE The Raw, I guess the biggest thing on that show, Buddy Murphy. I mean, he couldn't handle Aleister Black again. And then he, you know, I guess takes some tantrum and just sit on the side of the ring for the rest of the match. And what do you know? He ended up getting into the fist fight match, and Buddy Murphy now joins forces with Rollins and AOP. You happy with that, Don?
You know, I think Buddy Murphy getting a spotlight nod on 205 Live has been long overdue. That guy's talented as hell, and I think maybe it's what they needed. I know AOP was something that was given; they were going to push him somehow, and I can see it going in a good direction.
So they're going to grow this faction, I guess, huh? They're going to sort of grow this faction now? I mean, are they going to add more members to this group, or is it going to stay here? I'm just curious.
Let it be what it is, man. We don't need another Dark Order over here.
I know, right?
It's overflowing with minions. Jeez.
And now where is...
No, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and where...
I think it gives Seth a little more direction instead of just trying to get kind of build around him and, you know, spread the wealth, see how he can do with his own faction. And, you know, I think with the Shield, it was always this case of, you know, it was distributed. It was he was kind of more of the mouthpiece, but, you know, let's see how he thrives with up and coming talents. I mean, I know Buddy Murphy's up and coming because he's been on there forever, but, you know, lead two guys at AOP who are, you know, less well versed in the business or in this picture, and they look great. I mean, they're the heavies, and that little program they were doing with Samoa Joe, that was promising. I mean, I'm a big Samoa Joe guy, so anytime you give Samoa Joe something to chew on, that's great for me, too.
Yeah. Gotcha. You have anything you want to say, Matt? Look like you wanted to throw in there?
No. It's too early.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't fit the pieces together until I see it.
Sure. Anyone watching NXT? Anyone enjoying the Dusty Classics going on? That is still within the beginning stages, but it's been some pretty good matches that we've seen that came through. And, of course, Bianca Belair going to get a title shot. Of course, I'm ready for Bianca to go ahead and be champion, but no, she's not going to take that. But that's the way it's leading up. It's Rhea fighting, I forget, who's she fighting? She's fighting someone to even see if Bianca will be going against Rhea, but more likely she's going against Rhea. So, you know, Rhea's pretty much going to stay champion. For probably, I'm assuming, for a minute. So, anyone been watching anything on NXT? What's your take or anything? Or you enjoying the Dusty Classics?
Here and there. I think the women's team looks good. I mean,
yeah.
NXT's... I honestly just look forward to the takeovers at this point. Sure. You know, it's such a kind of well-packaged show. And I'll be honest, I don't keep up with every NXT show. Honestly, yeah. there's so much to watch nowadays.
Well,
it's really hard, but...
It's a better choice. It's a better choice right now than AEW, though.
He's trying to get into a fight.
Well, no. I mean, in all honesty, though, you got...
I mean, you're right. I enjoy NXT more than AEW, but I wouldn't...
But NXT, the reason it's a better product is because it's an established product. It's something that has been, you know, on TV for X amount of time. So... They already have characters established. They already have TV production. They already know what they're doing. They already have a venue in which they stay at that they know how to tape and how to do things right.
Yeah.
So it's always a more coherent, polished product than what you're getting on AEW.
Right.
Does that mean AEW can't be? No.
Yeah. But just that's what it is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they had the women's Battle Royal, you know, that you know, determined this number one contender,
right?
And it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah. some of the best wrestling that you'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
That last 2 minutes, that whole sequence of just the eliminations. Now that's better than something I've seen probably in a good couple months, man.
Yeah,
I mean, from the women's division, that was really cool.
Yeah,
and I know Cerro Del Rey is still there backstage, you know, helping the women. But, man, you got to remember, there's so much talent right there. I mean, it was 2 years ago around this time of year that Candice LeRae had her last independent match.
Right.
So she's been there for going on 2 years already.
Yeah.
And she's one of, you know, she's a great wrestler. And to think that she's lifting all these other, you know, younger female wrestlers, so cool. Just, you know, brilliant. And... you know, you got just so many people that are talented and we're trainers in their own right, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, they're sharpening each other, really.
Absolutely. Well, we also had SmackDown that happened this past Friday, and the biggest takes I got from that, Lacey Evans beats Bayley for the title. I mean, not for the title, but she will have a title shot. Up at the upcoming Royal Rumble. And then John Morrison, first match on WWE since 8 years ago against Big E. Just to jump back over to Lacey, I mean, boy, they hit the jackpot on her, right? I mean, she is just very well packaged. Pretty much going to win the title, I'm assuming, now at Rumble, unless they want to build it up to make it a Mania, which, of course, everything's bigger in Mania, but... come on, how do you have someone, single mother, military? I mean, that's the woman. I mean, come on. I mean, this is the ultimate storyline right here. Matt Michaels, what do you think? You're buying what you're seeing right now coming out of SmackDown? And even John Morrison, you know, I mean, I'm sure some people who probably didn't know that he was still out there wrestling and even holding it down and Impact and other wrestling organizations, they probably, you know, for those that hadn't been keeping up, probably looked at him like, dang, man, he wrestled 8 years ago and he's looking like this? Because he looked like he'd just been wrestling for, still in WWE for like the past 8 years doing the same moves.
Yeah.
But he's been wrestling. He's been out there.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. 8 years ago, half of the people watching WWE weren't even born.
True.
You know? So,
that's true.
Wrestling fans know him. Wrestling fans are not going to forget who he was, or the wrestling fans are also probably going to have seen him on an independent show or on Impact or on Lucha Underground. He didn't keep his face away. He did movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like he didn't have any exposure. He comes back and, you know, again, the question becomes, so what is his value to the company at this point? Do you put the title on him? You're not even putting the title on The Miz. The Miz has been there for 13 years.
Well, it looked like that's what they're moving up to now, giving them both the belts. That's how it's looking.
Both the belts? What belts?
The tag titles.
Well, big fucking deal. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, so you hired him back probably at a decent contract to be a fucking tag champ. You know, now if you're going to build your tag division, that makes sense. But that's the question. Are they going to build your, you know, the tag division? And why don't you fucking throw Ziggler in that mix? Have that as your threesome right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but they could have foursome. Aren't like Zack Ryder, Ziggler, and, you know, the other two, aren't they like best friends or something? Don't like some kind of,
no,
like,
the best friends are in AEW.
Shit.
Yeah, the bros or something like that.
Okay. And Lacey Evans, Don?
I'll allow it.
I mean, are you
really
sold?
Care.
Yeah,
you're, I mean, so
you're,
it's,
not,
it's
you're,
fine.
You're not,
it's
really
nice.
Sold on her.
It's not for me. I don't.
But she's still the perfect story line of what WWE is going for, though. I mean, that's exactly what they like.
Yeah, it's you know, it's, they're Coca-Cola. It's great for the sponsors. It's great for them. It's not for me. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure they're probably,
I mean, she's not a
getting
bad.
Good ratings, and, you know, it's right up the alley for like the PG content that they're going for, and what have you.
Just,
she plays the character well.
You're just,
I give her that.
You're,
you know,
just upset that they're going to take the belt off of the Latina champion, Bayley.
Oh, Lordy. Oh, Bayley. Yes, I am. You know what? But as long as she's on TV, it's all good. Keep her on TV.
Well,
she's losing. That's okay.
You might have a shot with her now, because apparently today it broke that the engagement is off.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Trouble in paradise.
They'll throw your name in the hat.
Oh, no. All right. But you... man. No, it's fine. It is what it is. I'm like, it's WWE. She's tailor-made for it. She is. She was basically, you know, she was made for that division. I mean, like, how long did you spend in NXT? Like, nothing? Like, a month? I don't know.
Yeah,
like she's perfect. She's exactly what Vince McMahon wants, you know.
Yeah.
So good for her. Make some money, you know.
Give me blonde
don't
hair.
Embarrass yourself.
Give me blonde hair and blue tits.
Blue tits.
You know, Matt Michaels. I'll tell you this, man. I know you've speaking of AEW, big fan that you are. I also know that you are also a big fan of DDP Yoga. Which means you probably was excited to see DDP on AEW in his return to the ring. He was in a special six-man team. And interestingly, you know, our boy MJF, he entered in with a T-shirt about banging DDP's daughter. Oh, boy. That guy is definitely the perfect heel. Perfect heel. But DDP, man, Matt Michaels, looking good. I need that that yoga tape you got, man. Because at that age, that's what I want to be able to do, all that stuff that he can do.
You know what? It's a combination of that, his lifestyle, you know, and it's also a combination of he will do anything he puts his mind to it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
He's been like that his whole life. Interestingly enough, the tag team was him and Dustin.
Dustin Rhodes, QT Marshall, and then it was against MJF, Blade, and Butcher.
Yeah, so just Dustin and Paige together.
Mm-hmm.
The combined age is like 115 years old.
Whew. Yeah.
Because Dustin's right around just over 50, mm-hmm. and Paige is turning 65 this year. So
crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I guess the question comes down to, what is the utilization going to be?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be putting Paige out there week after week.
Sure.
Because of the fact mm-hmm. that he's not going to be a constant. Something like this is okay, but it also makes me wonder if they are missing a little bit of the boat here, where you're taking a guy like that and you're putting him on TV instead of putting him on a pay-per-view mm-hmm. and building and making it a mm-hmm. special fucking thing that, hey, DDP is going to be wrestling in this match, you know?
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe, you know, maybe it will be a quick sequence of, you know, a couple months to get to pay-per-view, and you'll see maybe, you know, Paige lose to MJF, mm-hmm. you know, to build that heel character more. But, you know, the fact that he's doing good, that he can wrestle, that's great. I think the personal stuff is great.
Sure.
The question is, business-wise, who are you trying to reach with that? Because you're not building anyone new. You're just bringing in another brand that is recognized, but also not recognized to a huge extent. You know?
Maybe they saw what PCO was doing over there. And was he Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they were like, we need to get somebody, you know, like a DDP to come over and show what he can do.
But PCO is a regular character who wrestles every week. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That's the confusion.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's television time that mm-hmm. you could be developing.
Right.
Makes sense. A younger talent. Now, if you're putting MJF over.
Yeah, right.
And building him off of DDP.
Yeah.
Then it makes sense. But we still got to see where that goes. Is this a one-off? You know, did they bring him back just because of the popularity that was sparked through that brawl
mm-hmm.
that went in the, you know, into the stands and then into the arena, yeah. You know, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's there. He's definitely supportive of Cody. He's been, you know, he's known Cody since Cody was a baby.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, it lends itself to something that will build someone else.
I mean, Don, what's mm-hmm. your take? But most importantly, would you have put on a shirt like MJF had on, knowing that you're going to be facing DDP?
I mean, why not? You know, let's bring on the heel heat. That's like a given. I mean, we could have gone further than that.
That's true.
Pretty late, actually. I think it's fine. I think Matt already kind of spoke to it that, you know, he's going to be behind him.
Right.
He's going to be behind Cody specifically 100%. And, you know, he's all about the upstart and, you know, doing something on your own. You know, he's mentioned like Pro Wrestling Tees, and that they did a documentary on how, you know, he got behind Pro Wrestling Tees because he saw that kind of DIY spirit. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think he's going to come in whenever they need him and he's available. And I wonder how much of it was that too, you know, maybe this was like a week that he could come in, or a moment that he felt good in his body. Because, again, if he's 65, yeah, no, who knows, right? How much time we have to put him out there, you know? And, like,
yeah,
who knows if something changes in the next year or something, you know, God forbid. But still, yeah. I loved it. I love DDP, you know. I became a fan of his, like everybody in WCW. So,
sure.
Anytime he's on my screen, I'm happy about it. And I just, you know, hope he has a more significant role. And honestly, like Matt said, I would have loved for them to kind of build a Butcher and the Blade and give them a little bit more of a backstory, but yeah, you know, that remains to be seen.
And I guess MJF is now, you know, full-time or all AEW because he had his final match for MLW this past weekend. So, you know, I guess now he can go all in, as they say over there. WWE Royal Rumble predictions. I just thought this would be pretty fun. Next week will actually be the pay-per-view. I'm excited for it. I actually was going to try to attend the show, but I don't know, man. Baseball stadiums, when I went to the one last year, where I was sitting, I was outfield, just from where I was at, I was a long place from the ring, and it was, then they had this bright light that they didn't want to turn off, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm fond of the baseball stadium thing, but I still love the Royal Rumble. What do you guys think?
You'll willingly sit in a fucking football stadium with 100,000 people.
No, but the football stadium, no matter where you're sitting, and most of the time I'm in the 100 levels, you have a good view of the ring. The ring's right in the middle. There is no middle for how it's set up in a baseball stadium.
You don't have a good view of the ring.
I do have a good view.
You have a good view of the fucking scoreboard, the fucking... you're watching, you're basically paying a fucking couple $100 to sit and watch a big screen TV.
You know what? For the people who probably sit in the 300 levels, that's probably the case. But I don't sit in the 300 levels. I'm in the 100 levels. Thank you very much. Now, predictions. predictions as far as the men's and the women's. I don't know. You guys, knowing you guys, you know, you read all of them. The site, so you probably already know how it's supposed to end up at WrestleMania anyway. I don't have a heads up on that, but I'm just curious. Either one of you can go. Who do you think's going to win for the men's? And that's based on who we know. Normally, the surprise guest that shows up anyway normally don't win it. So, you know, based on who we know is going to be on the men's and women, who do you think is more likely going to come out? And then don't forget, we got Brock starting at number one. That's very interesting. That's a very interesting storyline. I think it's going to end up being the whole thing where, you know, the first 15 that come out, he's just going to knock them out one at a time until the bigger ones come in. And, you know, then from that point, I guess you'll have a match. But
Nope.
Okay, so tell me what you think. What's your prediction?
Whoever you have that you want him to face at WrestleMania comes out number two and dumps him out right in the first 2 minutes.
Really?
To builds the perfect heat for him.
Okay.
Yeah, gives him a reason to want to kick this guy's ass.
So who do you... is it weird for me to want Drew McIntyre to win that? I mean, yeah. I know. It doesn't make sense. Drew and Brock at a Mania, it doesn't seem like it's a seller. But... first off, for whatever reason, there seems to be a lot of bad guys that turn face as of late. Him being one of them, Orton as well, Samoa Joe. You know, all these are now, you know, great guys, funny and faces and all that. But I don't know. Maybe they're setting up Drew. I mean, what was his purpose of coming back anyway? I mean, back in the day, he was Vince's boy. He was supposed to be the man. I don't know. Maybe I don't see the sell in it, but, you know, maybe I don't know. That's my prediction with the men's. What would y'all take, man? Y'all, either one of you. What do you think is going to go ahead and take it? Don't be shy.
I think I got your final four, if anything.
Final four. Okay, let's do it.
From the announced.
Let's do it.
Let's see. We got, I think, Drew. I think your boy will be one of them.
Okay.
For sure. Man, they got to put Orton in there.
Mm-hmm.
McMahon loves some Orton on his final four right there.
Sure.
It'll be a Styles or a Joe, and I think Roman Reigns. I mean, let's just be real. I think it's a foregone conclusion, at least in my book. He will win the Royal Rumble.
Reigns? You think they're going to do that again?
It's not rocket science here.
Shit. I don't know about that. Yeah, you know.
If they're smart, Baron Corbin wins it.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Ooh. I mean, that is smart, but boy, I don't know how it, I mean, you're
right. This is going to be so massive. Holy crap.
Dude, you know, that might actually, you know, they don't throw things in the ring in WWE. That might be the first year that happens.
No, let's rephrase that. They don't throw things yet.
Yeah.
That'll be the United States.
Wow. All right. So I guess that would be your pick then, Matt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have your final four. Okay. Over to the women's. Who do y'all think? I don't know. That was a hard one for me myself.
Shayna.
They haven't announced many people, right?
Shayna.
They haven't announced too many.
Shayna.
Shayna just going to come in and just automatically, okay.
Why not?
Well, she did. I mean, she had that massive run.
Yeah, her NXT, she doesn't need to be in NXT anymore. Why not?
And all right. If we're going to go there, I got a wild card.
Okay,
same group of people.
Okay.
Ronda.
Mm.
Yep.
Ronda will come back.
Okay.
Could happen.
Big surprise. Set up for WrestleMania. Big star there. Boom. You got stars, eyes on the star, and you keep the title on Becky. And boom, there you go.
Becky, Shayna, that would be good. Becky, Ronda, yep, that's part two. Man, that's really, I would have to go with one of y'all choices.
Of course.
Damn.
Because we know what we're talking about, dude. We know how to book wrestling.
Damn. Apparently.
Have you seen my e-feds lately? And from 1999? I know how to book wrestling.
Oh man! Well, look. I guess we'll just have to see how all that turns out. It should be an exciting Rumble overall, and I'm looking forward to it. So you guys can.
I'll say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no! No, I was just gonna say it's my favorite pay per view they ever put out.
Oh yeah.
It was kind of a 1A 1B with Mania, but Mania being such a spectacle now, I mean, it's fine for what it is. I mean, I'm going to watch Mania. I mean, who isn't?
But, yeah.
You know, I love the Rumble. I love the unpredictability. I love, you know, the matchups that you have in between. It's really a show. You know,
yeah.
It's a one-hour show where you have comedy, you have the serious kind of last showdown, you have, the Kofi spot. We're going to get a Morrison spot this year, guys. We're going to get some damn parkour this year.
Well, no, and what you're going
to be cool.
You know what you're going to get is you're going to get – it's going to be both of them at the same time. You're going to get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It right. is. I mean, there's no other way to go higher than what both of them have done before than to do it together at the same time by taking each other out and over.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, we have said it all today. And
except for join us Wednesday, February 5th at 6 p.m. at the Kicks Lounge at the beautiful Boulder Station Hotel and Casino, where you will see us at 6 p.m. with the legendary Hacksaw Jim Duggan live and in person.
Woo!
And after Mr. Hacksaw is done, we get a special encore, a little presentation with Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake.
Yes.
The two of them together sit down and talk to us for a while. It's going to be a great show. Come on out, 21 and over. And just, you know, enjoy yourselves. Have a good time.
Absolutely.
Kick back a couple drinks. And DJ Impact has promised me he'll do the show without any pants on.
Hmm. Or very tight, short shorts. for everyone's viewing pleasures. Awesome. Yes, definitely mark that on your calendars. And also, okay.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you know, what's even you know, more of a special treat.
Yes,
that next night on February 6th, if you go down to the FSW Snake Pit,
okay,
at 7:30 are the doors, and you're gonna get to hear wrestling stories from the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and Hacksaw some Jim Duggan, and it's gonna be a phenomenal little show where they get to talk a little about the different experiences that they've had in their lives, and it's an opportunity to hear two of the living legends, you know, right there in a small, intimate performing space.
Yeah. And that is the next night.
That's February 6th.
There you go. We tune in. Definitely keep your eye on the podcast. I think there's a possibility that Sin City Steve, that's on the Jericho Cruise, at some point when they dock and he gets service, is going to call in and give us an update on what's happening.
Did you say when they dock, he's going to get serviced? What kind of cruise is this, man?
It's the Jericho Cruise, damn it. What type of cruise are you talking about? And he'll give us an update on what's going on, which I'm sure is going to be fun and exciting times. And then we're even going to give you more information on our live show and that entire week. I mean, it's going to be a crazy week. And, in Vegas that week, we have Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, that's going to be Friday, February 7th, and Saturday, February 8th. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe even the 9th, that Sunday. So
interesting, okay.
Those 2 or 3 days, and then you have NXT on that Saturday, the 8th.
Yeah. So that whole week, all wrestling-related in Vegas, is huge. It's going to be exciting. But look out for that podcast. Hopefully it comes midweek if he can give us a call. Don Ramon, we're going to give you the final words. I thank you for hanging out with us, man, and I hope everything's been well. Yeah, man. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's great to see the Vegas Bad Boys continue to grow. And in this new year, I hope, you know, wish everybody the best of success and just to love pro wrestling, you know, love it for what it is and, you know, carry forth. And much success to the whole group and, you know, looking forward to a great 2020.
Oh, man, after you said that, I feel really bad. I accidentally called ice on you. Fuck.
Man, there he goes again.
Oh, crap. Like, oh, damn. No, no. No, no.
No. Oh, shit. Oh, God. No. Don.
God damn it, man. No.
You see what happened?
Oh man! Fuck. What the hell, dude? Oh.
Didn't you learn anything?
Just put my pants off.
Don, do you have a basement of any sort? An just attic?
Tell him Dave's not here, man.
Oh, David's not here, man. It didn't work. No. Estoy jugando.
I love it, man. Awesome, man. We gonna have you on more. We gotta put you on more, man, because you're fun and your insight is great, man. So thanks a lot again. Okay, all
thanks, right, guys. You have a good one. All right,
no doubt. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening, and we will see you later. Peace.
Bad Boys of Podcasting.